Hey guys, welcome to episode 176 of the JV Club. I am delighted to report that this episode is a recording of the live episode that I did at the All Jane Comedy Festival in the beautiful Portland, Oregon. I had two supremely fantastic guests, Sarah Merck, who's a wonderful, wonderful writer, and illustrator and just all around extremely cool woman, and the also equally amazing Janet Weiss, who was a drummer for Sleater-Kinney and just about every other cool band we all wish that we could be a part of. And then we had Hutch Harris from the Thermals do some wonderful musical renditions of not just the podcast theme song, but also very appropriate surprise off-the-cuff covers of songs pertaining to the podcast itself. If I could just have Hutch Harris be in my life all the time playing songs, that would be great. So I really hope that you guys enjoy it. Shout out-wise, I wanted to thank Swara for your email about the addictiveness of cheese. I couldn't even say that. I started thinking about cheese and I lost the ability to speak. Megan and Kendra, thanks for your emails. Holly, thanks for yours. And thanks for your Facebook reminder to feast the bread. Listen, if you haven't listened to the Morgan Walsh episode in a while, I welcome you to do so. It is a wonderful tie-in because Morgan is from Portland, I'm realizing right now as I say these words coming out of my mouth. Nick, I want to thank you for your fantastic new MASH category suggestions. And George, for yours. Chris, thank you for your shout out about the Rhea Butcher episode on Facebook. And Anna, Ben, and Tammy, thank you for your wonderful posts and comments. Guys, I'm going to leave it at that and welcome you in to enjoy this episode from Portland.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey. Remember when we could save kittens from trees, lunch on skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees? Maybe we should move someplace new and build time machines to go and get us back. Do-do-do-do. Back before we were brittle. Do-do-do-do. Back before we were brittle. Hey. Remember when all of time stood still and really all you'd need was a peck from her? Well, maybe we should trade for some physics, black market spine, to go and get us back. To do do do. Back before we were brittle. To do do do. Back before we were brittle.
Thank you so much, Hutch, for playing the podcast theme song. What were you saying right before you came out to the stage about this being an all-woman comedy festival?
No, the best way to start the show is just with a man on stage.
We did it, everybody! We got it. We did it. Our goal was to get a guy into the All Jane Comedy Festival. Not the case.
I finally broke that glass ceiling.
Thank you. You did it, buddy! Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for making it possible.
It's my pleasure. It's my sincere pleasure. Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks a lot. I don't do stand-up at all, and I have really mixed feelings about the keep it going for thing. I'm sure people. I can't emphasize enough. I do not do stand-up,
But that thing where you do want to keep it going, but you've kind of already clapped, so then it feels like it's being coaxed out of you. There's something about that that's really hard for me. Like, I always kind of cringe when someone, like Caitlin Gill, would come out and be like, "Keep it going for Bobcat Goldthwait!" And we're like, "I know, we did love seeing him, but we clapped already." But also, why not clap again? I don't know. So I just don't want you to feel pressured at any time to clap. Certainly don't clap for the man on stage. This is our chance to really loosen up and not, you know, give praise. But please, let's give it up for our servers, everybody. They work so hard. That's another thing. It's those cliche things that you start to get used to hearing and saying as a performer that you have to figure out new ways to sound sincere about, which I guess is what I just did. Now I'm trying to, like, bring the room down with deep sincerity about comedy rather than pump you up. Keep it going for yourselves, you guys. Thanks for coming out. This is always... I don't do the podcast live that often, and it's always an interesting experience because my podcast is so intimate, and I typically record on my shag rug in my den. That sounds slightly rapey, I admit. It is a little bit, because I get immediate crushes on almost every guest that I have. But so there's this interesting element of, like, oh, hey, everybody, I guess I'm not going to ask you about, you know, the first time you had sex in the same way maybe I would if it was just you and me. But I hope that if you haven't listened to the podcast, that you give a listen, because it's definitely a different vibe live as it is than it is when it's not live. But I'm so blown away by the guests that agreed to do the podcast. I really I feel so pressured. Like, really class me up, possibly outclass me. Two amazing people, and then of course I have Hutch as our sort of Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'll be any Paul you want me to be.
It's never been more clear that I don't watch Jay Leno. Like, I couldn't think of his name even a little bit. But I could think of his voice as being very high-pitched.
Can you do it for us?
It's like up here! It's like, no, it's not. It's not. But don't you think that he has kind of a... Can you do a Paul Schaefer? It's Paul Schaefer, right? I'm right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were doing Leno.
You could also do Leno if you want. Amazing. The little head shiver is maybe my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stroking the chin. No, yours is a very gentle hint. It's like a whisper of an impression of someone.
Yeah, I don't
it's
like to use
It's a suggestion of a hint of an impression of someone. Yeah. I like it.
Oh, thank you.
It's a little bit Fred Armisen, though. He does that with, like, people that he knows. He has, like, one impression of our mutual friend Bart Coleman, shout out to Bart, who doesn't have a Jay Leno personality. He just has this very kind of quiet, gentle personality, not unlike Fred's. And Fred's impression of Bart Coleman, now I'm doing an impression of an impression, but his impression of Bart Coleman is simply something along the lines of this. That's it.
There's like, nailed
that's
it.
Bart Coleman, right?
Yeah, that's totally that
impressive.
Guy that we don't know.
It's very impressive. I would love to bring out my first guest. She is she's an amazing writer. She has a book. She's been dubbed the hardest working woman in Portland. I'm sure she'll be excited to talk about that, because I think already it's something she feels slight chagrin about being called. But please welcome Sarah Merck. Yeah. Hey. Keep it going for Sarah Merck, everybody.
Don't keep it going.
I'm so sorry.
Turn it off.
I'm so sorry. I also did. Also, please help yourself to a pitcher of water. That, and I mean this with total love, reminds me of old pizza parlors. Like, in a really good way.
Yeah.
But it does take me back to good, like, old pizza
to
parties.
Shakey's, yeah.
Pizza
to
party.
Shakey's, yeah.
Yeah, like a Shakey's.
And, like, creepy people dressed as animals at the
Well, yeah, if you get into Chuck E. Cheese territory,
yeah.
That's a whole other nightmare. Did you like Chuck E. Cheese when you were younger?
You know, I did when I was about 6,
yeah.
And then I became deeply afraid of it right after that.
Yeah. Well, did anything happen in particular?
I think I actually went to Chuck E. Cheese.
I think we were in love with the idea.
I think when I was six, yeah, I, like, saw all the ads for it, and I definitely remember horribly pestering my parents to take us to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And then they finally broke down, and we finally went, and I was like, this is a hellscape.
There's
those creepy animatronic bears
that
play songs, and then there's like humans dressed as rats.
Is that true? Are there humans dressed as rats?
The Chuck E. Cheese is a rat mouse.
He's a mouse. I don't know.
But it doesn't make a difference.
But he wears clothes like Mickey Mouse, so he can't be too disgusting.
I don't understand why mice are like gross when they're small and cute when they're big.
Interesting.
That doesn't make
a side note.
They're more terrifying when they're giant, I think.
Here's the emotional landscape of issues I have about that is that I had two pet mice when I was a kid.
They always die.
Well, for sure.
They always die.
My mom really, I don't know what kind of black magic she was working, but those mice live so much longer than the average
mice. No, they died and she bought new mice and just told you they were the same mice. 100% chance of that.
You might be right.
Yeah. I had multiple hamsters, which die in the worst ways.
Multiple hamsters sounds like a good cover band name for something.
Have you heard my cover band
for the Shins? Multiple hamsters?
It's a band that fights with every other band that it gets close to.
That's right. So you had...
And then pees on everything.
You had grumpy hamsters?
All hamsters are grumpy,
I think.
Yeah. Hamsters, you know, hamsters are like genetically engineered by humans. They're not like real creatures out in the wild. Yeah. They're like, we bred them to be like cute and small, but we also bred them to like hate each other and pee on everything and like die very easily.
We bred them to pee on everything. I don't know what we were thinking when we put that gene in it. We knew we were going to make it pee on everything, but we did it anyway.
I think there's like, I don't know, some person in the lab that like hates kids.
Yeah,
I was like, I'll make an adorable creature that will bite you and pee on you.
That's definitely...
Put it in every pet store in America.
Was there a time when you absolutely knew that you had to have hamsters? And then was it the same thing with Chuck E. Cheese where everything becomes like, when I see it from a distance, I know it's what I need? And then when you get you're like,
uh-oh. We lived in like really small apartments when I was a kid, and so I always wanted a dog. I was always like one of those girls who just loved dogs. Like some girls love horses.
Mm-hmm.
I loved dogs the way most girls love horses. But we couldn't get a dog because we lived in an apartment. And so as a very shoddy substitute, we got hamsters.
And more than one hamster.
More than, because they would... As I recall, they were just like a string of hamsters that died constantly in horrible ways. And so they
it
were quickly replaced
with
hamsters.
Like there was an actual sort of
like a conveyor belt
of hamsters
coming into the house.
You enjoy it for, you pet it once, and then it's just in the toilet.
Yeah.
Where was the small apartment? Where were you a kid, and did you continue to live there as a teenager?
I grew up in Southern California. The small, terrible apartments were in Ventura, California.
Ventura, sure.
Yeah, which
that's a place where I don't think about small, terrible apartments. I think beautiful, foggy beach and...
A foggy beach is not good, but it's better now than it used to be. When I was growing up there was like... This is horrible. But there was the downtown street now.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there was all thrift stores that all were like... charity thrift stores that all had terrible names, so it was like the domestic violence and abuse store.
Oh my god, you guys, I got the best gently used jacket at domestic violence and abuse.
And there was like the abandoned children's thrift store.
What?
Anyway, but now, I swear to god, the domestic abuse and violence thrift store is now in American Apparel.
Feels right.
And
feels
so
right.
The city has changed a lot. But when I was growing up there, the claim to fame. Okay.
Oh no.
This is horrible. When I was growing up, the claim to fame of Ventura, California is the first murder case to use DNA evidence was of a murder of a hot dog stand owner in Ventura, California.
Oh.
So that was like,
the
it was
hot dog
like,
stand
when we were in school, that's what we learned. We're like, Ventura, California, put it on the map when that guy who ran the hot dog stand got murdered. And now it's like a cool beach town where people go and hang out in the fog.
Because of the hot dog stand murder.
But then we moved to a small town. Another murder happened and it was my neighbor and then my parents.
What?
Yeah. And my parents were like, lots of murder. And then my parents...
The murdered people thrift store.
They murdered my hamster, and then we had to move.
Sure.
My parents were like, there's too much murder here. Let's move to a small town. And so...
I mean,
We moved to a small town when I was seven.
Murder here.
Yeah. So we moved up the road about 30 miles to Ojai, California, which is also a beautiful place.
Sure.
Ojai's like, it's in all the crossword puzzles.
How is she going to ruin Ojai for us? Like, she just ruined Ventura.
Ojai's actually...
Now Ojai.
Well, the problem's with Ojai... I mean, the biggest problem with Ojai is it's plagued by, like, horrible artists. Oh. Like, it's like 2 hours away from LA, and all the people, no, I swear to God, all the people in LA who make money and like who in AOL move to Ojai and are like, now I'm going to be an artist. And I don't need to be a good artist because I'm already a millionaire. And so they just sit around town and make horrible art all day. So people are always like, oh, it's so magical. It's an artist community. And I'm like, nowhere you go to high school is magical. And there's nowhere open past 6 p.m. And all the artists are sitting around town. And they have a horrible piece of public art there called... probably the worst piece of art in town is called the Early Bird Shopper. And it's it's a fiberglass bird on a fake rock with that has like shopping bags.
What? That's horrible.
And this
the
is
the Early Bird Shopper. So literal and horrible.
It's so literal, so horrible. And just after I graduated from high school, somebody stole the Early Bird Shopper.
Okay. Somebody just got interested.
I know. Somebody chiseled off its fake rock downtown, and it was gone. And it was like major small town scandal.
Yeah.
Like this. I mean, we're talking. This is a small town where there's like one newspaper, and it's like front page news when the pet store got lizards. Okay. So, and so they really, were like, this was like what everybody was talking about for months is where is the Early Bird Shopper?
Was there a sense of who might have done it?
Oh, teenagers, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But anyone from your school?
Ventura.
There's only one school, so.
Okay, so it had to be.
Yeah, so it had to be, and so they were
the reveal
like,
is that it was you. Good job.
It was not me.
Okay.
But then, like, there's all these, Ojai's really cool. It's a small town surrounded by mountains, and it's like a beautiful natural place with
some beautiful orange groves.
Beautiful orange groves, and you can go hiking. So that's what everybody does for fun is they go hiking.
Mm-hmm. I like to do my early bird shopping there.
And so some townsfolk were hiking up on a trail, and off of the trails, there's like teenage-made pot trails to up, like off of the main trails where you can go and smoke marijuana or make out with people.
Okay, but they're not trails that like are made of pot.
No.
I don't know what I imagine. Just
they're
like
they're
a
more
lush
like
trail of pot leaves.
You know, like you see like you're like, what is that, like a deer path? And then you go up there and it's like a little clearing like full of joints and Playboys and beer cans and stuff.
So the good old days.
So yeah, there's this trail that's like above the town and you can walk on it and see the whole city. And off of that, like some townsfolk went up this trail and they went up like a teenage
I love townsfolk, by
the
way. It's,
yeah.
Speaking of folksy, that's wonderful.
And then they came across this clearing and there's a big rock there and cemented to the rock overlooking the town was the Early Bird Shopper.
Oh, gorgeous.
And they found it. And so then it was like triumphantly returned to the center of town. And then they printed up these postcards that said Early Bird Shopper, she's a survivor.
Ew.
It's really bad.
That's horrible. How just like upsetting to real survivors everywhere.
The real to humans or survivors of anything.
Yeah.
Or So that was
like, it's so great that you survived cancer, but
this lady,
she got chiseled off some and put up high.
Yeah.
She came back.
Yay. But the crime
Keep
was never solved.
Really
the crime was never solved. They have not yet caught the thieves of the Early Bird Shopper, and they never will.
You know what? Who should solve that? Starley Kine. She has
a new
podcast called Mystery Show. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? She solves mysteries that, like, for sure do not need to be solved. that no one would bother solving. She solves, and they're very satisfying. She has a lot of adventures along the way. So we need to get her on that. I'm, dead serious about that. So if anyone wants to, like, help me remember to, like, tweet her and stuff, we should do that for her. For her. Like, it's a beautiful gift for giving her. I think it is. What I'm getting from what you're saying, and Hutch, tell me if I'm wrong, is that you were a pot smoker because you went
out
there.
Oh, no.
Really?
No. I was like, if you can be straight edge without the music, if you're just like a super dork who's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't do substances. I'm too into the fountainhead.
Okay.
That was me.
Oh, sure.
I was like the bad kind of nerd in high school. I was like,
were you like a pretentious nerd?
I was like the pretentious, condescending nerd.
Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
Who would like wander around being like, ugh, I'm surrounded by fools.
Yes.
You know? And like I
like comic book store guy.
Yeah, I was like the comic book store guy. I learned Elvish.
You learned Elvish? Don't say that off, Mike. I was like, I learned Elvish. What? La Loud and proud, you learned Elvish.
Yeah, and so I was that kind of nerd in high school. So I definitely didn't smoke pot. I definitely didn't drink at all. And I very much
because you could get high on your own mind,
exactly.
Your own imagination.
That I know you're joking, but that's how I felt.
I'm not joking in the sense that I 100% believe that to be true, and I think that's a perfectly legitimate way to feel as a teenager. You know.
Yeah, and also, I mean, honestly, like, high school pot smoking culture is so dumb. It's still so dumb. I still wouldn't want to smoke pot with high schoolers, and I didn't then either.
Yeah.
And
what if you did now? You're like, I feel like, I missed out. Now's my chance.
I feel like, and especially with drinking, too, you know, everyone just sort of gets around and is like, oh, man, we're so drunk. We're so drunk right now. And I was not into that at all. And so I didn't drink until I was like 20 or 21, and so I got to skip a lot of the really dumb part of it.
Uh-huh. Did you, did you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's like 2 years older.
Did he do that stuff?
Oh, no, he didn't either, really, I don't think.
Did he also speak Elvish? Did your whole family speak Elvish?
My brother.
Did you learn it at birth? These are questions I shouldn't be asking.
My brother was antisocial person. So he's super smart, great, funny, but doesn't want to talk to anybody. And kind of, so he kind of really kept to himself. I think he only had like 2 friends in high school.
Did people even do that thing where you, and I'm an only child, so I'm pretending like I know what this is, but did you get 2 classes in high school where people were like, oh, you're so-and-so's brother, or did he make himself so invisible that wasn't even a conversation?
Oh, no. He was visible. Okay. People knew him because he was like a dark, brooding force, I think. Yeah. People would be like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
So people would actually often talk to me about my brother to try and get to him because they'd be like, so your brother, he's so brooding.
Interesting. Did he
What's
know?
His story?
Did he? And that was not an intentional, because that's like a really good move to play if you're interested
it
in drawing.
It is a good move to play. I think it's up for debate about whether it's intentional or not.
Yeah.
I've talked to him about this, and I've said, you know, people want to be friends with you, and you just blow them off, and I'm really mean to them.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't do that. And he's like, well, I don't want to hang out with most people, so.
What are
so
you
I don't.
Do?
So I think it's genuine that he doesn't like most people. And
Starly kind doesn't have to solve that mystery. We just did. We detective that right out.
But I do think that what happens when you don't like most people, but you're like a smart, like tall, good-looking, funny person, is that then everyone is like extremely into being your friend.
Sure.
It's like, oh, that person doesn't want to be my friend.
How do I win this situation? Sure, sure. And so in comparison, did you have a lot of friends? Do you have friendships that were lasting in all through high school? And
I'm like textbook extrovert. I love other people. I have lots of weird, interesting friends and like to hang out with people a lot.
Yeah. So. What, by the way, I couldn't cherish my own non sequiturs more because they're all I have. It's when you come to embrace your weaknesses, I think, that you can be the most happy. So this
really
is
true.
Totally not related to anything except for one thing,
okay.
Which is when you brought up seeing the pile of joints in the Playboys, made me want to ask you, as a you were an editor at Bitch, Media?
Yep, that's true.
I'm sure you know that Playboy has announced that they're not going to have naked pictures of women anymore.
Uh-huh, yep.
I wanted to hear what you thought about that, because that's very recent. I never talk really about topical things, so I'm shocked at myself.
You're like,
I'm a little shell shocked. I almost feel like I'm gonna do the like little Jay Leno head twitch,
it's
but
like,
more like I'm having a seizure.
It's like Safeway announcing they're not gonna sell food.
Oh,
Do
they sell food?
Only guy at All Jane, everybody. Only guy at All Jane.
I think, I mean, I read the interview with, I think it was Hugh Hefner about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is Hugh Hefner? I just wanted to.
For context, he's a really old horny guy.
Uh-huh.
Loves naked ladies.
Hey, does he wear slippers?
Yes.
I do know who that is.
Yeah, okay.
I do know who
that is. Well, they said it's basically a business decision. You know, it's nothing to do with the moral code or the changing morality of America or whatever other think pieces are saying about it. It's a straight up business decision because their website is not safe for work and neither is their magazine. And so they're trying to tap into more of that market of people who don't want to look at naked pictures because they can get that for free after work looking at internet porn.
Yeah.
And going after the more of like the GQ soft porn market.
And all the people who say, I read it for the articles.
Yeah.
Some people mean that.
And so they said in the interview that they did about with the New York Times about it, they said that their website traffic, since they stopped running naked photos on their website, like about a few months ago, like 4 months ago, and their website traffic like tripled.
Oh, okay. Because
suddenly people are reading it at work and that kind of thing. So yeah. I don't think there's that much to say about it besides that, I mean, Playboy's always been interested in good business, and
right.
business is changing.
What if instead of the pictorials, there was just paragraphs describing what the pictorials would look like? Softly airbrush face.
Actually.
Not a wrinkle in sight.
I mean, romance novels sell really well.
Right?
Playboy is more like a romance novel. Maybe more, I mean, I might buy
I'm interested
buy
in that demographic. The demographic that would read Ooh, about Playboy pictorials.
I think, you know what I think they should go for is more erotic fan fiction.
Sure.
Because that is selling like hotcakes.
Sure, sure.
And
is that something you keep your eye on with what you do and kind of what you write about?
Keep my eye on.
I don't know what that means. The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning.
Like, okay, so yeah, so I get my phone, I look at my erotic fan fiction.
Sure,
feed.
Sure. What's happening?
Three
what are they writing
later,
about? What are the people talking about?
Yeah, actually, erotic fan fiction is a legitimately huge business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of people publishing on Amazon and also publishing just on fan fiction sites, and it's mostly women and. Some of it's really good. Just
yeah.
gonna go ahead and say that.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And some of it, but it's just like a fun way to screw around with your favorite stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you read something and you're like, this would be hilarious, and then you can write it and people actually buy it. So
yeah. So when you say hilarious, is there? I don't know why you're not an expert on this. I don't think, nor do you need to be.
I mean, I have written erotic fan fiction, and I have read erotic fan fiction, especially
well,
as a teenager.
Than I am.
And
you did. Okay,
yeah.
See, because that's a thing that I had no sense of whatsoever until
oh, yeah.
very recently. In the last few years, I became more aware
how old
of
were,
what the...
What were you? Like?
Yeah, I'm older than you are,
okay.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm 29, so I...
Oh,
I
got, I'm younger than you.
Oh, really?
No. No.
Yeah, so I mean, I started a lot of my teenage years spent on the internet, and...
What fan fiction were you reading and writing?
Definitely gay Harry Potter fan fiction.
Okay. Yeah. Like, who did you ship? Now, I can say that because I do a lot of conventions. I do a cartoon character that people have said
oh, yeah.
to me,
oh,
have
yeah.
you read any Cora erotic fan
yeah,
fiction?
There
I'm
is
like,
some...
why would... I can't do that. That would feel weird to
well,
me.
Well, I'll just tell you what happens if you want to know, but...
Great.
It's pretty good.
Great.
Which is, I don't really read that much anymore, mostly because I don't have the time, and I read, like, books, I don't really read that much online.
Yeah.
But as a teenager, I definitely wrote, like, Harry Malfoy gay fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. You like the sort of love-hate, why can't I stop
you
thinking
know,
about you, you,
you know
bastard.
That underneath all of their hatred
yeah.
is a searing
Burning.
Homoeroticism.
Sure.
And it's fun
sure.
to explore that.
Yeah.
As well as Ginny and basically everybody.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what you said earlier was, wouldn't it be hilarious if, is that... That's what I was going to ask you before I said you're not an expert, and then I found out you were an expert.
Yeah.
But what is it predominantly like something that's funny, or is it a nice mix of, oh, this is sort of funny, but also this is super hot? Like, is there a crossover between
the two? I would say it's a mix.
Two?
You
yeah.
know, sex is really funny,
mm-hmm.
and having crushes on people is really funny.
Yeah.
And the tension around that can be really funny. And so there's a lot to play with there.
Yeah. Did you have boyfriends or girlfriends when you were in high school?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you have both? I did.
No, I had a couple boyfriends. Did I have a couple boyfriends? I had one boyfriend and then some guys who I dated.
Yeah. But you couldn't do much after six because everything was closed.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of like, let's just drive up to the top of the thing and look out at the such and such? Because we had to do that in Tucson, Arizona a lot.
Yeah, you know, when I was a senior, we would do that. We would go look at the stars. We would go we would go to a movie. Like the closest movie place was like half an hour away, so that's kind of a whole night trip. Or we'd be like, let's go get a milkshake, and that's an hour away. So
yeah, it gives us a destination,
yeah.
a place to drive.
But yeah, you could drive up to. There's lots of like great like open meadows you can park in
mm-hmm.
and make out and look at the stars. So
you
we do that a little bit.
That reminds me of. This is so gross because I'm about to call. I'm about to say. You know what that reminds me of is that Volkswagen commercial, which makes me feel like I don't deserve to be alive right now. But I think that that's a reason that it resonated. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about? It's the Nick Drake song, Pink Moon. This was like 15 or 20 years ago. And
what?
You don't know that? It's okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why it's stuck in my head, except for this reason, which is that this group of teenagers is driving in a area that may as well be Ojai.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of hilly, clear skies. You know, they sort of, you have your hand out of the, outside the window, and you're sort of trailing the air with your hand, and Pink Moon is playing, and they're driving, and it's this beautiful moment for them in the darkness, right, kind of going down this road, and then they get to this crazy loud teenage party where everyone's drinking, and mm-hmm. like it just, and they all sort of look at each other and share this unspoken moment, and they get back into the car and they leave, and I was like, I need a Volkswagen immediately. Like, it tapped into something so deep inside me.
That's a beautiful commercial. What a beautiful
commercial. I know it's gross. I know. It's super gross. But the reason that it stuck with me is that I feel like I had a lot of experiences like that as a teenager because there was very little to do. Mm-hmm. And I was the sort of hypersensitive kid who wasn't that excited to just go get wasted at a party where, like, that was my sort of dream was, oh, God, to have friends who want to not be at that party also and just want to keep driving and listening to Dick Drake.
Yeah, actually, that's not that. When it's not framed as a commercial, that's really sweet. And
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's we did a lot of that. We just drive around in cars listening to music all the time.
Yeah. What kind of music did you listen to?
I listened to a lot of Weezer. I was really into Weezer. I was one of those people on the Weezer message boards.
Are you one of those people that feels differently about them now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Weezer is like a chapter in my life that is closed.
They have sold it out to commercials,
I know that they are... Oh, I didn't mind about them selling out. It's more like... let's see. So I was really into Weezer. I listened to their albums like every day. And then my friend, I was in the Weezer message boards, which is on the
internet.
And
what were people talking about on the Weezer message boards?
Oh, speculation, themselves.
Weezer fan fiction? Erotic
Weezer
fan fiction?
I never saw any Weezer fan fiction on there, but it might as well have been because it was like, I wonder what Rivers is doing right now. And anyway, so my friend won tickets to a Weezer show on the message boards.
Okay.
And he won two tickets and one backstage pass.
Nice.
Which is kind of cruel.
What happens? What do you do with that backstage pass?
So both of us went to the show and she got the backstage pass.
She got on my shoulders. We put a giant trench coat on.
Yeah.
Pretended to be one person.
But so we finally went to the show and... And it was we did that thing that you do when you're a teenager when you show up to a show like 4 hours early, and you're like, we have literally nothing to do. We are here for 4 hours before the doors open, and then once the doors open, we will be here for another hour. And then so it was like an all day experience to go to this Weezer show, and then it was like a really great experience. And he went backstage afterwards and like talked to everybody, and he came back and he was like, Rivers is a huge dick, and Rivers Cuomo was the frontman of Weezer. And I was like, huh, interesting. And that really, like, changed my whole perception. After that, I started realizing that Rivers Cuomo was a huge dick. And that kind of ended that chapter in my life of being really into Weezer.
Do you, because you've interviewed other people, do you believe the old sort of adage, don't meet your heroes, people kind of say?
Actually, meeting my heroes is pretty great. Mm-hmm. I just interviewed on Monday. I interviewed one of my favorite rock stars, Lauren Mayberry from Churches.
Yeah. I saw your post about that.
I love Churches, and
that's
I love
so
her.
Great.
And she, it's kind of sometimes it's cool to meet famous people because they're so much more like real people than you expect them to be.
Absolutely.
Like, Churches, which is a band based out of Glasgow, Scotland, is like a really serious electro pop band. But Lauren Mayberry, who fronts it, is like so silly and funny and sweet and adorable and sincere and really smart. And so it was fun to meet her, to be like, oh wow, I was really intimidated by you because of your music, and like in your videos you're like looking all moody, but in real life you're really fun.
Yeah.
And so that's been really fun. It's been cool to meet people I really admire and realize that they're actual people, not people up on pedestals.
I couldn't agree more. And I do feel like the people who live who choose to live in Portland, who are maybe more well known than some of us, probably wouldn't choose to live in this city if they didn't have that groundedness to them. Which reminds me, we have a second guest tonight.
Oh, yay!
Here's an example of heroes that you meet that turn out to be fantastic. Hutch is going to play a song, and then when he finishes, we're going to welcome out Janet Weiss of many fantastic bands, including, of course, Leaderkenny.
Yay!
My name is Jonas.
Oh no!
I'm carrying the wheel. Thanks for all you've shown us. This is how we feel. Come sit next to me. Pour yourself some tea. Just like Grandma made when we couldn't find sleep. Things look better than once, but never again. We've all looked the damn, let me tell you about it. Choo-choo train left round time. Ticket costs only on mine. Driver said, hey man, we go all the way. Of course we were willing to pay. My name is Wheat Bill. Got a box for your toys. Fresh out of batteries. Still making noise, making noise. Now the tank is dry, now the wheel is black. Wheel is black, and you know what else? Guess what I received in the mail today? Words of deep concern from a little brother. Building's not going as he planned. Foreman has injured his hand. Dozer will not clear a path. Travis says he learned his math. Workers are going home. Workers are going home.
I want to ask that you give a nice warm welcome to Janet Weiss.
Yeah!
Such a sneak attack.
It was a sneak attack, wasn't it? Here she is, Janet Weiss! Was that me? Did she? What was just said? Hi. Welcome in. Hi. Please enjoy our press conference environment. The press conference table, it doesn't quite hide anything except, well, Sarah, you're
my
pretty
feet.
Comfortable down there. It hides your feet?
Yes.
It does not hide my glittery, unshaven legs.
Ooh.
That's what I'm telling myself. Like, oh, this is beautiful. Look at this beautiful blonde, glittery hair. Isn't that nice?
You can always get behind it.
Well, you know what?
It's very drum kit size.
I'm going to be unshaven, loud, and proud at All Jane.
I never have to shave being a drummer.
Oh, you got it all.
It's covered.
Do you not, and do you wear clothes underneath, or are you just...
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
To not wear clothes. Just imagine a drummer not wearing clothes would be awful.
Yeah.
It would be horrible.
Seems fine to me.
No.
Yeah. I'm imagining it right now.
There's a lot of flailing around and bouncing. Terrible.
God, you really have immediately put images.
I would wear a bodysuit if I could.
Yeah.
But it's... I get very warm.
That's a sweaty business, drumming.
Very sweaty. Very sweaty.
So great.
I have
though.
A fan. I bring my own fan.
Janet. You gotta have a fan. I don't know anything
right?
about this. First of all, this is my first Janet, and I feel like I have to take your name and turn it into an abstract in my head, or it's a little bit weird. For me to say Janet, because and maybe you have had this experience also, not that many Janets out there.
No.
Right?
Except in Scotland.
Are there a lot of Janets in
yeah.
Scotland? That's
my, very
that's where I belong.
It's a very Scottish name. I feel the same way.
Did you feel, or do you have Scottish background?
No.
Huh.
But I do love, I love Scotland.
Yeah, I've never been.
I do have some nicknames.
You do?
You can call me a nickname.
Now also, let's get this out of the way. I'm so sorry, but when I was growing up, people would sing Damn It Janet to me.
Well, you know my name's Janet. Why
and that's where I'm going with this
name?
Is I thought the second Stacey said that you were going to do the podcast, I thought, oh, like it clicked. I hadn't even thought about it up
people
till that
like,
point.
People were like, what are they talking about?
And I was like, Janet Weiss. No. I really thought, oh my God, people would torture me with that and and your name is actually the exact same as Rocky Horror Picture Show's Janet Weiss.
It would be like my middle school science teacher, and she would just think it was so funny to start singing, "You Better Wise Up."
Uh-huh. That's a hip teacher.
Yeah.
But she sounds like she was very smug about how hip she was. I don't care for her. I don't want you talking to her anymore.
But she was also
very jealous.
She was also like a excommunicated nun. So she was kind of cool.
Listen to her. How did you come to know that? Like, was that something that she was broadcasting, or was it just something that was whispered between?
No, she would say it in front of the class.
Yeah.
She was like, if she called roll or was calling on me to answer something, damn it, Janet. I'm like, okay.
But no then would she be like, really damn it, Janet, I'm an excommunicated nun. Or was that, how did that come out to the kids?
They all were at the high school I went to, junior high and high school, yeah.
Was it Catholic school?
It was an all-girl Catholic school.
Okay.
But they couldn't wear their habits because they got in trouble at some point. And could still have the school, and they were still nuns, but they weren't allowed to wear their habits.
This is wonderful. Yeah, why isn't this a movie that I would love?
Did they still
have to
do the nun
stuff?
Did they still do all the nun stuff?
Somewhat. I mean, I was a Jewish kid. I'm not religious, but I was a Jewish kid going to the school, so they let that happen.
This is amazing. There's so many images, for sure. Just like Sarah just said,
the
idea of starting something, starting a rosary and then being like,
that nun stuff, like
nun stuff.
They didn't pray, or I don't know what nun stuff is.
Like having sex.
No, I don't think. Well, I don't.
You
think
don't
they
know.
Did.
You don't know. Like, you don't know that you didn't. It doesn't go that far.
I don't.
What was the name of the
personal
school? Was this in L.A. area?
In Hollywood, yeah.
Okay. Is it? What's it called?
It's called Immaculate Heart High School.
Yeah. I know Immaculate
Franklin
Heart, but
and
for
Western.
Some reason I assumed I'll talk about.
You assume they don't let Jews go there.
My familiarity with that school.
I got out of all the masses, but I liked going because there was a band. And the band, it was pretty cool.
Did you play drums in the band at Immaculate Heart?
I did not.
When did you start playing drums?
I didn't start playing drums until I was 22.
Okay. What was the first? Do you learn other instruments before that? Or
I did learn guitar.
Yeah.
Pretty badly.
Uh huh.
But I liked the open chords.
Uh-huh. Did you have that sort of sense that some of us have where we like the idea of playing an instrument and maybe we start with something that doesn't feel like a fit and then you kind of find your voice, so
it
to speak?
It definitely didn't feel like a fit. I did not want to stand up and play.
Uh-huh.
I just felt too self-conscious to do that.
Yeah, there's really not much to hide behind. Other than like a harp. I'm not sure what else you could hide behind as effectively as drums.
I mean, drums are strangely like... They're not like a shy person's instrument.
Yeah.
But you do, you can sit down and sort of hide behind things, which I enjoy.
Did you, you played guitar badly?
I still play guitar pretty badly.
Wow. Well, we're going to find out right now. Hutch, could you please hand this guitar? No.
She can play. I've heard Janet play guitar.
I'm sure she can.
Yeah. She's great.
Every time someone says something complimentary about you, I'm going to assume that it's about me. Like he just said, I've heard Janet play guitar. She's great.
Janet
I
Weiss
was flattered
plays
for a
guitar
second.
Very well.
Still, 100% sure you wasn't talking about me. And I still was like, well, I do love the guitar. Like, what is wrong with me? That's straight up narcissism. Yep. That's narcissism.
That's
looking
narcissism.
The narcissism in the face and going, hey, buddy, it's you and me. We're good at guitar.
Yeah. Well, like you say, there's not that many Janet. So
yeah, it's
when we have to revel when we're with
we
each
have to
other.
Revel. So you come from a Jewish family. They sent you off
sort
to a Catholic school. Was that because it was the best education that they perceived as being available to you?
Well, I grew up in Hollywood. My big sister, I have two older sisters,
mm-hmm.
and my oldest sister was a very rowdy. She went to Hollywood High. She was always running around doing drugs and going out with boys and
mm-hmm.
basically just driving my parents... pretty crazy. My parents had split up, but separately crazy. And I think they just were fed up with it.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not sending any more kids to that school.
Fair. Was that a kind of school? And I almost asked you this too, Sarah, and this is, it's not something that I care about passionately, like, oh, I'm so into celebrity at all. But being from Tucson, now that I live in that world and it's just sort of like, you're sort of blasé about the amount of famous people, I was wondering that about Ojai too, like, if that was something that as a young person, if it's more peripheral but still immediate in a way that it absolutely was not for me. I mean, it was a big deal that Paul McCartney had a house in Tucson. Like, people talked about wanting to sneak in and steal things. It was weird, and it was too much for Tucson to take. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I don't know, Paul McCartney has a house here. That doesn't make any sense. But somehow there was an importance to that certainly doesn't exist in Los Angeles, because there's just sort of famous people everywhere, and it doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. So I'm wondering for both of you if it was like, oh, that's Suzanne Summer's second house over there in Ojai.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in Ojai, it's like 2 hours north of LA, so it's the kind of place where people go to like get away from Los Angeles, and so there was a lot of jadedness about that, and kind of like scorn about it. I mean, there was a couple. I remember there was like one kid at my high school who was like, I'm gonna be an actor, and he had two cell phones. He was like, I have a cell phone for each agent. And I remember meeting him and being like, you're horrible.
Yeah.
This is what Hollywood is like. But then there was like random famous people would show up, but I wouldn't recognize them. I worked at the bookstore in town, and like Anthony Hopkins would come in all the time, who's like, seems like a pretty cool, famous person.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him, and I made him... customer of the month one time. I was like,
that's great.
I was like, Tony, I'm gonna take your picture and put it on the wall and make you customer of the month, so you get like 10% off all your books. And he was like, that's great. And then somebody else came in and was like, that's Anthony Hopkins.
That's great.
And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, that's Anthony Hopkins. And I thought they were joking, and then he came in and I was like, are you Anthony Hopkins? And he's like, yes. And I was like, Tony.
Like, he'd been keeping it from you. Tony!
Yeah. He bought a lot of books, though. Good customer. And so it was, I don't know, Hollywood stuff seemed kind of gross to me.
Understandable. And was that true? Because when you said that about your sister, I just had this image of, you know, it being like, oh, and then she got arrested with John Travolta's daughter or something like that.
I think more than the disdain for the actual famous people, it was more just feeling uncomfortable with, like, the industry standard of... what you were supposed to look like.
So you felt that even as a high school student?
Oh, yeah. Especially in high school.
I'm so
sorry. Especially in high school. Like, there were a lot of, like, you know, really pretty blonde, no offense, blonde girls. Like,
are you talking about me, Janet, or you, Janet? I don't know.
I mean, the culture was very body image centric. Mm-hmm. Like, you're... how you looked, how people saw you was very much your worth in the culture. And growing up in high school with that, and having that like in the city where I grew up, I did not relate to it. I could not wait to get out of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I felt like people were very superficial, and it's probably not true. It just,
I think the industry sort of presented
this image of how a woman or how a girl or how a teenager was supposed to look and how to act. And I did not relate to that at all.
Yeah.
So,
and that goes back to the kind of immediacy of it. Like, seeing something that's even just a few degrees removed than being right in front of you. I really can't imagine that. I don't know how I would have been.
Music presented all the images that I wanted to see.
Yeah. Who were you into when you were in high school?
I was a huge Clash fan in high school, and I was the biggest Joe Strummer fanatic. And I once
would you read Joe Strummer erotic fan fiction?
Probably.
You would. Wonderful.
I once followed him around Westwood. I found out what hotel the Clash were staying in when they came to play in Los Angeles, and I followed them around. I followed him around. And ended up talking to him. I was probably 15.
I didn't expect there to be an interaction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. I was motivated.
Yeah.
Once I locked on, I followed, and then waited. I was with my friend, Rosanna Martinez, and we were huge Clash fans. And the day I brought the, like, Sandinista lyric sheet that I got out of my Japanese import to high school, that I was like, that was it. That was the, like,
yeah.
All the other kids were
God.
Very impressed.
And so you felt you had good experience with him, so it wasn't like you
Pretty
felt
good.
Like yeah, as I, much as I guess you rushing him in Westwood could be.
I couldn't understand what he was saying. I couldn't understand his accent.
That's great. Well, what do you think he said?
It is, I mean, it's It's humbling to me now. Like, I was the biggest super fan as a teenager. I was a huge... My biggest sister was a Bruce Springsteen fanatic. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she calls him Bruce. He is, like, great. You know, they're on first-name basis.
Yeah.
She would just drag me to those shows. We'd go six nights in a row.
Oh, we'd my.
Made a, you know, like a big sheet with...
Wait, you would allow yourself to be dragged six nights in a row?
Yeah.
That's a very sweet sister.
And then we drove to San Diego and went a seventh night in San Diego.
Oh, my, Bruce.
So sometimes there's kids now and they come up to me, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm just like, oh, no, I know you. I know you.
Yeah.
That was me.
And then I just jumble your words and say something that they can possibly understand.
I try to speak in a very thick accent yeah. so they can't understand.
Yeah. Was there room for anyone else, or was it strictly your heart belonged to Joe Strummer and Joe Strummer alone and the Clash?
Oh, no, there was room for other people. I loved Elvis Costello, and I saw Tom Waits play many times, and I had these heroes, you know, that would save me from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I could escape my, you know, whatever you're trying to escape.
Yeah.
Home life, you know.
I'm always interested in... And people who don't have that relationship to music as a teenager. Because there are, in the podcast, because I talk so much about adolescence, there are so many people who are like, that just wasn't something that was important to me. And so my immediate next question always becomes, how did you feel understood? Where did you turn to feel understood? Because that was really where
cope?
I went, right? Yeah, and books, too, you know?
Some people also have really good families.
Yeah. What, so like face-to-face? Blah.
I think it's in Southern California, it's especially acute because the mainstream culture is so, in my experience, superficial and is so image-oriented and body-oriented that if you don't feel like you fit into that in any way, music can be a real refuge for that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Musicians are usually freaks.
And, like, I just remember, we would, like, drive however many hours it took to get to a show just to be there.
Yeah.
And just to feel that feeling of being in a room with other people that didn't feel weird.
Well, I think that's what a lot of cons are now for people too, in addition to concerts. So there's sort of this place to gather that there didn't really exist when I was younger. And I don't know if I would have taken advantage of that or not.
You mean like Comic-Con?
Yeah, like a Comic-Con.
I went to Comic-Con when I was in high school, actually.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful experience.
It was good.
Yeah, cuz it was in San Diego, Comic-Con, and when I went there it was maybe like 10,000 people.
Sure.
I don't know how many people it is now.
Yeah,
it's really,
a gajillion.
Really huge.
Yeah.
But it was so cool because it was like the roles from high school were reversed, and whoever could be the nerdiest and know the most about this comic was like number one.
Yeah.
Like super fan of the convention, and that was cool. And so it was for me in high school going there. It was like a mind flip. Like, oh, things don't have to be the way that they are in my high school. They can be different ways. There
Absolutely.
Can be different standards for what's cool and what's not cool, or what's good or what's bad. And listening to music, I think, opens that up, too, where you're like, oh, these people are great, and they're not doing anything like what I'm seeing around me.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just shifts your expectations of what's normal or what's good. I think music can help open up that world in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the biggest indicators I had of how important those conventions were is that I was at one, and they do sometimes, you know, they'll do panels, but then they'll also do workshops, and, you know, there's fan-based stuff where it's fan-run groups or cosplay, and then there's stuff where, you know, actors come in or writers, comic book artists. And you also...
I draw comics and I edit nonfiction comics. And in high
so
school,
cool.
I wrote and drew comics too, and I was super into comics. So that's how I got into a lot of stuff, was through comics. And then going to conventions and like meeting my favorite artists and being like, I would do the super fan thing of like, hello, what do you say to somebody? But it was a cool thing to be like, oh, here's a place where the stuff that I think that I value is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like thousands of other people valuing and appreciating this. I think these days it's more... like super commercial, and it's more like, oh, you value this, like buy this thing.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
that
true of
gross.
The big ones. The
yeah.
little ones still have that spirit to them. And there was a little one where I saw a sign on a door for like the various panels that were going to, you know, what was going to be held in that room that day. And one of them was, I can't remember what the title was, but it was indicative enough of, I was like, is this what I think it is? And so I looked in the book, and it was essentially a come talk about sort of landing soft back in your regular life.
Because no, and I just thought, oh God, these are my people. That just the sense of how, you know, I don't want to go home to people who don't understand me the way this community understands me. But I also felt so grateful that such a thing would even exist, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep an eye on the time here. Okay, you know what? I think it's getting on time to do this, because this is kind of another way in to us getting to know you a little better. Also, this is the logo to my podcast. It's a little smiling young lady with braces. These are fake tattoos that a listener made for me. I think there's something very funny about offering fake tattoos in Portland, Oregon. But if you would like one, I just left a big stack of them up by the front door. And you just, you know. I mean, this is how fake tattoos work. You just press it on your skin, and then you wet it, and then you hold it down, and then you pull it away. And it won't last, unfortunately. Unfortunately for me, because it's a great marketing tool. No. This was a fan's idea, and I love these, and so if you would like one, I welcome you to take one. I do end the podcast with a game of MASH. It was a very important game to me. As a younger person, it was a way to sort of explore all of the imaginary longings that I had with friends. And so I would like to do that with you guys. And what I do with my MASH games, I try to tailor it a little bit more to what I know about you and also want to find out about you. So I'm going to start with Janet. Give me three bands that, whether they exist any longer, whether they're alive any longer, that it would be fun to have played with. And also, if you want, I can let you think about that, and I can ask Sarah, and then you guys can both sort of
mull.
Well, I'm going to give her a different one. But unless you want that one, do you want that one, too?
I can think of three. Led Zeppelin, of course.
Right.
What drummer doesn't want to play with Led Zeppelin? Patti Smith's band.
Nice.
Like, current times. And... The Clash.
Gotta get it in there. Gotta get it in there. Great. Sarah, do you want to answer that as well?
Man, I wish I was a musician of any kind.
Also, I felt like that sounded condescending. Like, do you want to answer that one too, Sarah? Do you like to play instruments? That's not in any way how I feel.
I mean, I feel like my answers would be literally any band and any band and any band.
I'm guessing not.
Don't
Weezer,
say that.
Though.
Don't wish that upon yourself. Well, okay, Insane Clown Posse, you're a drummer. You're going
don't
on tour
assign
tomorrow.
You those.
Okay, that's
resist,
funny.
Resist.
I don't play any.
How about this? What about bands that you're just like buddies with that you can sort of, you're like, oh, it's cool. I just went to the recording session. We all hung out. They told me they wrote the song about me. I was like, you guys.
Ooh, think about that.
Come on, it have to be the Beatles.
So many.
Beatles?
Right?
I don't know. Well, like,
Paul McCartney wrote a song about you?
Like, no. Right now? Like, the Beatles now?
No.
Just
we'll
any version of any band.
Any version of any band?
Yeah.
That's like such a huge question. I don't even know. I don't even think I can start my brain processing
it. Yeah, I know. Welcome to MASH. It's only going to get harder from here. It's only going to get harder.
Geez, well, I think it'd be great to be like the fifth wheel in Fleetwood Mac.
Great. Great.
If I could be in Fleetwood Mac and just be like, it's going to be cool, guys.
There are five wheels already. No.
Yeah, so...
The
sixth wheel in Fleetwood Mac.
That's good. That evens it out so everyone can sleep with everyone evenly.
That would be really... I think that would be really fun. Let's see. You know, I love the current band Yacht.
Okay.
If I could be in the band Yacht, that'd be really great. Maybe
you
I could
be in that band.
Maybe I could just be like their hype man,
you could
like
be.
Dance around.
Wait, what's happening? Are you granting a wish right now?
No, but that's not that hard of a band to get in.
That's great.
It's true. She's
I mean, you
right.
gotta sing like Jimi Hendrix, like they're
you
dead
right here.
You can't
right,
be in
right,
that band.
Right.
Okay,
amazing.
I should think of a dead person.
Yeah. Oh. Sure. Sure.
Let's see.
I should think of a dead.
Who's dead that I would love to
I feel like I want to curate your band list. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Nick Cave. You could be in Nick Cave's band.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be really
okay,
cool.
That's cool.
Should I put that down?
Would that be good?
Is he dead enough? If that's what you're thinking, we're in trouble. They have to be really dead.
You know, I also, yeah, I think, geez, I'm thinking, now if you open up to dead bands, that like makes a whole other realm of people, that's really difficult.
I can think of not dead bands.
What do you
for
think?
For you.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm curating for you.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
I think you could be like, play flute in T-Rex.
Yes!
Whoa!
I would love to do that.
This like mutual supporting and giving ideas is
how
really
how did you know I would love
me.
To play flute in T-Rex?
That's amazing.
I could tell.
There's some.
That is 100% correct.
There's
that's so satisfying.
All right, there's some good stuff going on up here. Next one is Sarah. And if you want to answer this too, Janet, great. Imaginary places that you could have a vacation home.
Ooh, imaginary places?
Mm-hmm. Or
no,
unrealistic.
Even, no. Number right. one is the Shire, clearly.
Great.
Number two would be Hogwarts. And number three would be the clouds, like Spirit Away.
Ooh, great.
Miyazaki kind of clouds
yep.
with dragons and cool stuff.
Great.
I have like six more.
I'm gonna pass on that one.
Okay. What about real places in this world of ours? Scotland, I'm guessing. No?
I travel a lot, so mm-hmm. being home is actually
sure.
sometimes more of a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I have to
know.
Well, how do you follow the Shire? Mars?
Yeah.
I want a vacation on that high-speed train they're building between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Great, great. I'm putting it down.
The Hyperloop.
Is that what it's called?
High-speed T, that's what I put on.
The Hyperloop.
I'm about to put Mars down here.
Do it.
Great.
There's water
so
there.
Lonely.
With Matt Damon or without Matt Damon?
Definitely without Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Check.
No
and
Matt Damon.
Check. And then last, now, all right. What about a place, like, is there, what if you could have a sort of teleportation system where you, there's a place, but it doesn't involve traveling. It's like you roll over and then you twitch your nose, I Dream of Genie style, and then you're at this place. So it doesn't really
this
feel
is
like
for
travel.
Vacation?
Mm-hmm. Just so relax.
Am I supposed to say like, oh, a beach or a...
No, there's no supposed to. There's no supposed to. I can't relax on a beach, so I'm not going to ever push
yeah,
that on you.
I can't really either. It's so funny. I just went to Spain for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucked, I gotta
oh,
say.
Yeah? What happened?
It looks like the worst part of I-5, like when you're driving around. I mean, exactly. I was like, this is Reading. This is the Reading exit.
Yeah, that's a real, you got cheated big time.
Yeah, it's not that pretty. And the economy is pretty bad right now. And the people do not like English speakers. They just, I didn't have one conversation like, oh, you're traveling, you know.
Yeah.
Welcome to our country. None of that.
Oh, that's really disappointing. I'm so sorry.
So,
and the food is bizarre. It's like a lot. The national treasure is the Iberian ham,
mm-hmm.
and it's everywhere. Like legs, like ham legs, are like hanging in every bar,
uh-huh.
in every restaurant. It's a lot of meat.
Any
not
temptation
a lot
to be
of vegetables.
Like, boom, boom. Chukka, chukka, not chukka, chukka, chukka. With the legs,
yeah,
no. No drumming. She's a drummer, guys.
I was not drumming. That's probably why I didn't have fun, because I wasn't drumming.
There you go.
Next time I'll bring my buckets, and
You've
I'll have a better
time. You've
got to
bring your buckets. I'm so excited for Grandma Buckets.
It's unveiled right now.
I don't even want to tell you what Grandma Buckets is, but I want you to know that
it's
Grandma
happening.
Buckets may start performing.
It's happening.
Dress as a grandma. I can't
right.
wait.
Not even dressed, just as a grandma.
I'm putting home. You know what?
It's so boring. But
I live in a wonderful place.
Like you said, you're a dog fanatic. I'm a huge dog fanatic. And traveling is honestly hard because I don't like to leave my dog.
Yeah, no. And did you have small dogs?
What's
big
the dog?
Dogs?
Tell us about the dog.
Well, I have two dogs, Mac and Isabel. And one is a blue heeler.
That's the best dog.
He's the best dog. It's embarrassing how
it's
much
not,
I no. how much I
we
love
have a surprise
dog.
For you, Janet. Can we bring the dogs up on the stage?
That would be the best.
Oh, man.
Grandma Buckets is one of my dogs is going to be part of the performance.
I can't wait.
He's going to be a nurse dog.
A nurse dog?
Yeah. He's going to wear a nurse hat.
Amazing. Amazing. Do you have dogs too?
No, Sarah? I wish I did.
Oh,
I have roommates right now, and both of my roommates have dogs. So
you
I'm
said,
a,
oh, okay,
I'm
so
a dog mooch. Because
you said, like, oh, yeah, some girls like horses. I was really into horses.
Oh, yeah, horses. Yeah.
But now I'm really into dogs.
But if I did have a blue dog, if I did have a dog, it would be a blue heeler, because yeah, blue heelers are the best. The best
I can't dog. Think of what a blue heeler looks like.
It's adorable. It's kind of like a little shepherd.
One ear up, one ear down.
Oh, yeah. One ear up, one ear down. They know what they're doing.
Cute little butts, and they're like fuzzy.
Cute butts?
They have cute butts.
Huh. Would you read blue heeler erotic fan fiction? I'm open to it. Okay, next category. This remains a perennial favorite of mine. Three foods or drinks, whatever it is. It can be something that is something you can't access easily that you had once that you wish you could have again, or it can be something that you wish you could have all the time, but it's not good for you. And so it would be amazing if in this crazy, fantastical world of ours, it was a nutrient for you. It empowered you. It was good for you.
I'm pretty normal. I like ice cream.
Great.
And French
I'm not
fries.
Looking for anything. I'm not looking for anything crazy, unless you have something crazy. French fries, great. Great.
And just throw in a margarita.
Great.
But a good one. A good one.
A good margarita.
The endless margarita that has no physical negative ramifications.
Exactly.
I'm 100% on board. Sarah, what about you?
Definitely infinite peanut sauce. I love peanut sauce.
Is that bad for you?
You know, peanut butter makes it onto this list a lot, but no one ever says peanut sauce. I think that's a great
adjustment.
Peanut sauce
is delicious on everything, and it's like $9 a bottle. It's so bad, and I just want it all the time.
Yeah, peanut sauce, great.
So infinite peanut sauce, like a giant salad that has beets and candied walnuts on it.
Come on.
I know you're like salad, but... Look, this is my food, not your food.
Can you at least put peanut sauce on the salad?
Maybe on the side, but yeah. No, I love like roasted beets and candied walnuts on like a green thing. But like,
you like blue cheese on there? That comes on there a lot.
No, blue cheese is
all
really
right,
gross.
We got to get rid of that away.
Yeah. It's just like candied walnuts and beets.
Yeah.
On like a giant salad.
What's the salad base? Is it romaine? Is it spinach? Is it?
Like arugula, spinach.
Yeah, get that arugula
fresh,
in there. I'm turning this into something erotic, clearly. I know that it's salad, but we're going to make it sexy.
And then... I could eat gnocchi just about forever, so
sure.
Let's put gnocchi on there.
Sure. Okay. Next category is, and then I'm going to have to go through this faster. So you're going to have to come up with off the top of your head.
Okay.
This is a classic game where an hour from now, I'm sure you'll be still obsessing over this experience with me. No. But you will be like, oh, why didn't I say? And that's okay. Three movies that you can jump into. The worlds are real. The characters you can interact with. You're safe. You can sort of go like, hey, buddy. Don't shoot me, Al Capone and the Untouchables. I don't know that anyone would go into that movie.
What?
Would you?
Okay.
No.
Okay. Apocalypse Now.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
The Deer Hunter and Taxi Driver.
Great. Great.
I like films that involve cute animals, not death.
Yeah.
You can pick Babe.
Okay. There might have been a deer in the Deer Hunter.
Oh.
There was no deer in the Deer
Guys,
Hunter.
Portland, come on. I love you. We're not talking about really killing a deer. It's okay. I love deer. I have way too many like deer figurines
that.
In my house.
Yeah, that's creepy. I'd love to be in the Disney animated version of Robin Hood. It's just great. You get to sing songs.
Sure.
Shoot bows and arrows for the sheriff. I know I already said Spirited Away once, but
no,
I'll
that's
just say it again
sure.
in case.
That increases your chances of ending up with it.
Jeez, and then a third. This is a high-pressure situation.
What about, I guess Harry Potter. I already
I know,
gave
I already
you these, like,
that.
Fictitious places that are already in movies.
But, like, I can't die or get killed
no.
or anything?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be pretty sweet to live in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go for Star Wars.
Great.
But I'm like safe.
Yeah, you're totally safe. Are you excited about the new one?
No.
Yeah. Next category is three sexy companions. Male or female, living or dead. I know you like picking dead people. That you can, it can be a one-night stand. It can be your platonic
life partner, whatever you want, but three.
Can you go first? I have no idea.
I'm watching this horrible, horrible show right now. It's horrible. But the actress is so cute, and she's Australian, so I'm going to pick her.
Okay.
What's her name, I think, is Ruth Wilson. Or
oh, yeah. Yeah, from the
from
Affair.
From The Affair.
Yep.
Oh, she's, yeah.
She's cute. Oh, God, what's his name?
Halle Berry.
Clive Owen.
And Clive, could you come up here with Janet's dogs? Shit is getting weird.
Not gonna see my dog. That's not cool, Janet. That's not cool. Let's just say like Benicio del Toro. Mm-hmm.
Smoldering.
Speaking of smoldering, definitely Fox Mulder. Can I just pick him three
so
times,
glad.
Or do I have to pick somebody else?
You can. Will you what? Pick him three times. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, no, but she's gonna be my. I think it's the next category. Friends.
It could be, but it might not be.
I'll save Scully for Friends.
All right, I'll do Friends. Okay, I can't let you do Fox three times.
What?
Can I?
No.
I will. I will, because frankly, we don't have time. Three friends, people, either characters or people from fiction, living or dead. Could be, you know, anywhere from Dorothy Parker to Snuffleupagus.
The Horse and the Black Stallion.
Yeah.
I love that you didn't say the Black Stallion. You said the Horse from the Black Stallion. The Dog from Benji.
Don't tempt me. I will go there.
Dude.
Wait, are these, we're choosing friends?
Friends.
Or animal friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those
either
are friends. The
friends
dog from
friends.
Benji.
Great.
And,
so Benji.
Yeah, Benji. Well, there's the other dog.
Oh. I don't remember the other dog.
I'm obviously older than all of you.
I know what Benji looks like.
I didn't even know, in high school, I didn't know what Comic-Con was. I feel so left out.
Well, it's not like I had a Comic-Con when I was in high school.
You didn't?
Sorry,
it's
a recent. This is a recent thing for me, for sure. Black Stallion, Benji. Sarah, you want to toss any in there?
Was that it? Was that? Don't you need a third one?
We're rushing.
I need a third one. I'm gonna have to make this the last category, guys.
This is how we're going out with Benji.
You have a third one.
That's up to you.
You could ratchet it back up with Nurse Ratched.
Oh my God. Do people sit around and think about this? Like,
I do. Clearly. I don't really think about it that much for myself, but I'm fascinated by other people's
Can
answers.
I say Joe Strummer again?
Yes!
I love to be friends with him,
follow
even though he's
passed
away.
Follow your heart, Janet. Follow your heart.
I followed him.
You follow his heart.
I think it would be nice to have useful friends who I could like mooch off of. So I'm going to go ahead and say Hermione, because she could cast sweet spells. Okay. And then something I could like get a ride on, like that could fly.
Uh-huh.
So maybe like some kind of like giant golden eagle from mythology that could pick me up and drop me somewhere else. That'd be
great.
Sweet.
Falcor, right? The luck dragon.
Falcor?
I know.
Is that
He's
the name of
one.
A giant? Okay, Falcor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Dr. Watson from Sherlock Holmes would be a pretty good friend, because he'd just like listen to me all the time. He'd be like a therapist. He'd be like a therapist friend.
Yeah. So. And then you'd be like, and now let me play the flute.
And then he would write stories where like I seem cooler than I am.
Yeah.
So he seems like a pretty good friend.
It would be great to have somebody who would just twist everything up to make you seem awesome, right? Okay. This will be very quick. While I tabulate this in just a second, Hutch is going to play a final song for us. We'll announce the results, and then we will say goodnight. I don't know if we're going to go out with Benji or not. It remains to be seen. I want you guys to do sort of a psychic brain meld where you tell me when to stop at the same time. I don't know how that's going to work, but tell me when to stop.
Stop.
All right. Hutch?
Don't
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, there will be double. So come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, there will be double. So come on and let me know. This indecision's bugging me. You don't want me, set me free. One day it's fine and next it's black. So if you want me off your back, then come on and let me know.
How you doing over there? Did you get a little?
Well, that's actually one of Mick Jones's songs, but
well.
I knew you wouldn't like that too, Jana. But that's the only Clash song I know.
I
know.
I love it.
Guys, I've got some really wonderful news for you, and some disappointing news for you. I got to start with the fact that you ended up with a shack. I can't control that. That's mansion, apartment, shack, and house. The good news is, your shack is here at home.
Your vacation shack. Yeah.
The place you really most wanted to be.
Sounds like my house. It's not so bad.
They don't lie. And you have a shack, but it's a shack within the clouds of Spirited Away.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Which actually is interesting because randomly you did end up being able to go into Spirited Away. So
Perfect.
It's all very practical. You see how that became very practical. And for you, Janet, that means that you get to dive right on into the Deer Hunter. Whenever you want a little pick-me-up, you just want to pep up a little bit, have a laugh.
Excellent.
Enjoy yourself. Deer Hunter. I also want to congratulate you for your work with Led Zeppelin.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Aces.
This is sounding great to me, by the way.
I mean, yeah. So far so good, right? And Sarah, for being a member of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh,
oh wonderful. Is this the song, Sarah, about you, or is that a coincidence?
I don't think I can talk about that.
Yeah, I understand. It's private band stuff. You can enjoy a bottomless margarita from here to eternity with no negative. Oh, is that a little bit disappointing? You got a margarita. Maybe Sarah will give you some of her gnocchi.
Yay!
She'll lob it, right? You guys can play a little game where she throws
it. Only some
you
beets,
catch it
though, mouth. For yeah. vitamins.
You did not get the salad. I repeat, you did not get the salad. You ended up with gnocchi. I want to congratulate you on your sexy times with Ruth Wilson.
Ooh.
And you got, strangely, Fox Mulder.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how that happened. You, my dear, may fly around as you like on a mythical golden eagle.
Yay!
And that means, Janet, that we end with Benji. Couldn't have planned it better.
Very appropriate.
This is how we go out with Benji. Thank you so much for doing the podcast, ladies. And thank you guys so much for coming. Hutch, thank you so much for being our amazing musical guest, Oates. I hope that you guys will enjoy the rest of the shows at All Jane. It's such a wonderful festival. Stacey and company, thank you so much for promoting wonderful, wonderful women's voices in comedy. And thank you, Curious Comedy. This is a great club. I'm excited to do more shows here, including one right after this, with a bunch of amazing stand-up comedians. So thank you, and good night.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.